This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فأما بعد, my dear brothers and sisters, I thought let me record this in this very beautiful location. And that's a little bit of the water behind me, of the sea. And I hope the picture is not crooked or something. I'm trying to keep it straight. This tripod that I'm using is something that was gifted to me by my nephew Hamza Ahmed, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him and give him the hasanat for all the times I use the tripod and also for all the times that I don't use it. Now, brothers and sisters, we are looking at the life of Luqman alayhi salam, not his life so much as his advice to his son, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned for us in the Quran. And as I mentioned to you, Luqman alayhi salam is was somebody whose advice was so beautiful and it was so good that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu gave it to us, and he mentioned it to us so that we may learn from it. Now, I remind myself and you, let us think about this. And many times people ask me about children, about parenting, and they say, how can I ensure that my children are pious, that they are that they do not fear anyone other than Allah, that they are wise, and that they are dutiful to their parents, they are kind, they are polite, they have got good manners, good communication skills, for example, and so on and so forth. And I have only one answer to all of them, and my answer is, children listen with their eyes. Children will listen with their eyes. They don't care what you say until they see what you do. So it is as simple as that. All children, everywhere, every culture, every religion, every nationality, every time and place, children listen with their eyes. They watch parents, they learn from looking at parents. Many of you would have heard my khutbah last Jummah, which I delivered with the topic of the Black Lives Matter protests that are going on here in the United States. And it so happened, and of course it so happened is not a matter of a coincidence or something, because nothing is a coincidence, everything is by the izin and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody sent me, I think it was I can't remember now who it was, but anyway, somebody sent me a small video clip on WhatsApp, which is a video made by a mother about her little daughter, and the mother is obviously quite proud of what the daughter is saying. So in this video, this little girl, she's eaten some cakes. So the mother is holding that little packet of cupcakes, which is empty. And she's asking the girl, so she says, who ate these cakes? So the little one says, not me. So the mother says, so did somebody break into the house and eat the cakes? So this girl says, yes. So the mother says, you are telling me that somebody broke into this house and they didn't steal the TV and they didn't steal jewelry and they didn't steal money and they only ate these cakes? The girl says, yes. And then she says, it was a black man. Now my point is, here is this girl who must have been, who's probably about 2 years old, if that. Here is this little 2 year old girl who is saying it was a black man. Now, what does that girl know about a black man? I can probably safely say that that girl probably never saw a black man in her life. So she is associating crime and stealing and so on with a black man because of what she hears in her home from her own mother and father. Right? So people ask me, how can we bring up good children? You can bring up good children by being good people yourself. There is no other way, unfortunately. I mean, I wish there was a... I could have said, you know, eat Tylenol every morning and you will, your children will not give you any headaches. No, it doesn't work like that. Right? It doesn't work like that. You want to have good children, you have to do something about it. And that something is, be good people yourself. This is what the Quran is teaching us, and this is what Surah Al-Luqman teaches us. In Surah Al-Luqman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning the advice that is given by Luqman alayhi salam to his son to be, which is related to how to be successful in this world and the next. And it is that beautiful advice which, alhamdulillah, by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have with us to follow it. Now, therefore, the way of reading the whole Quran, everything in it, but especially of this surah, and especially of these ayat, is to read them, and one at a time, and to reflect on it, and to think about it, and to then look at our own lives and say, how does my life map onto the advice that Luqman alayhi salam gave me? Because if I accept, and if you accept, and inshallah we do accept, that this advice is advice that makes you successful, and then I take my life and I map it on this advice, and I discover that my life does not map onto this advice. This advice is here, and my life is somewhere here. What does that mean? It means that my life is not going to be successful. Simple as that. I mean, it can mean one of two things. Either the advice is wrong. Na'udhu billah, this is the Quran. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us, so it cannot be wrong. Then I am wrong. Now, this is, I want you to hold this in your mind throughout all of these lectures, so that we can continuously look at this. These lectures also are on the same format like all the others that we have been doing, which is that we are looking at what is it, given what we are learning, what is it that I need to start doing, what is it that I need to stop doing, and what is it that I need to continue to do consciously in my life as a result of listening to these lectures. So I request you to keep that in mind also. Now, I advise myself and you, please reflect on why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to mention these words of advice of Luqman alayhi salam to his son, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liked so much that he gave the benefit of this advice to all mankind until the last day. We like to think of ourselves as being very connected and networked. But what we don't realize is the actual extent to which we are really connected. We are not connected simply in this world by means of social networks, but we are connected with the next world by means of our actions. What we do in this world affects the outcomes that we will face in the next world. You know, I always give this rather simplistic example, but it illustrates that when you move your mouse on the mouse pad, the cursor moves on the screen. And when you point with the cursor, to something and you click on the mouse pad, something happens in the background, and your computer now opens a page, or it searches something, or an app comes into being, and so on and so forth. Now, all of this is something that we need to keep in mind and think about and say, what do I learn from this? What do I learn from this? Our life is like this. What I am doing here sitting, inshallah musta'an, has an effect on my akhirah when I meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you are sitting and listening to these lectures, and then you bring about changes in your lives, then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you, and that will have an effect for you in the akhirah. So all of us are like this. Whatever we do, every word, Rasulullah said, if you smile at your brother, this is sadaqah, right? Now you know and I know that sadaqah is something that Allah will reward us for. So think about this, that I am smiling at you and you are smiling back at me, and inshallah this has now been recorded in my and your amal, book of deeds, as a good deed, which will be for us when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now what is a good deed? You might say, well, you know, one good deed. How important is that? Tell me, what is the importance of one good deed? I mean, those of you who have been listening to me for all these years, you know the answer to that. What is the importance of one good deed? The importance of one good deed is that one good deed is the difference between Jannah and Jahannam. Right? One good deed is the difference between Jannah and Jahannam. That is how important it is. So we need to hunt for and look for and collect good deeds. And for want of a better example, I say, like we collect money. I mentioned this before and I'm mentioning it again. In the days when I, in my youth, we lived in a place in Hyderabad, in a colony called Czech Colony, near Alwyn Metalworks, the Alwyn factory. And in that colony, even though it was called a Czech colony, there were no Czechs in it, there were no people from Czechoslovakia. It was called the Czech colony because the factory at one point during the war used to make Bren guns. And Czechoslovakian engineers worked there. Also, the factory had made the first refrigerator that was manufactured in India. It was called Alwyn Pressed Cold. So this colony was built for those Czechoslovakian engineers. So this was, there was four bungalows to an acre of land. So each bungalow had a quarter of an acre of land around it. And these were beautiful colonial style bungalows, and with a big garden. And I used to do a lot of gardening in those days. So around the house was the garden and so on. And it was a very, very beautiful place to grow up in, and a very beautiful place to live in. Now, by the time we came to live there, all the Czechoslovakian engineers and so on were gone, and Alwyn factory used to make bus bodies for the AP, in those days Andhra Pradesh Transport Corporation, APSRTC. So these, that colony now had only Indians, and we were, I think it was us and one other Muslim family. Everybody else was Hindu, and it so happened that Alwyn at that time was owned by the Birlas, and this was a colony for their senior management. So they were all Marwadis, right? Everybody in that family, except for ourselves, and there was another Muslim family called Khans. Other than that, everybody in that colony was a Marwadi. And I remember, at that time I was still in school, so this is talking about the 60s. And I must have been about 10 years old or 10 or 11 years old at this time, because I was in class, I was in grade 5, grade 6. So I would have been in grade 5, I was about 9. So I'm talking about that age. I remember one day my father was, we were walking along, but there was a club there, and my father used to play tennis. and badminton, and I used to hang out with him. So we were going to the club, and one of my father's friends, one of these Marwadi guys, he was walking along with us. Now, in those days, you had coins. Yeah, today, all of this has disappeared. But anyway, in those days, you had a one paisa, one naya paisa. It used to be called naya paisa, new paisa. So there was a one paisa coin, there was a two paisa coin, there was a five paisa coin, there was a 10 paisa coin. Then there was a 25 paisa coin, which was like a quarter, which was called a chavanni. And there was a 50 paisa coin, which was called an athanni, and then there was a 1 rupee coin, right? So all of these coins were there. I do not remember whether we had 1 rupee notes. Wallahalam, I'm not sure now whether we had them. You might like to Google it and see if there were 1 rupee notes in the 60s. Today in 2020, I don't think we have 1 rupee notes, and not for the same reason. I mean, because 1 rupee buys you nothing. In those days, 1 paisa bought you something. You know, we used to buy those things called fatafat, which was a little ball of churan with some sugar on it, and it was delicious, absolutely. So 1 paisa and 2 paisa were things which actually bought you something. They had some monetary value. Anyway, so we were walking along, and there was a 5 paisa coin on the road. Let somebody dropped a 5 paisa coin. This Marwadi friend of my father's, he picks it up, he dusts it, he rubs it on his shirt, cleans it, he kisses it, he touches it to his eyes, he touches it to his forehead, and he puts it in his pocket. So my father said, "What is it? What is the thing you are doing? I mean, it's a 5 paisa coin." He says, "Lakshmi hai, Dr. Saab, Lakshmi hai, ye 5-5 paisa jam ke hi karodo bante hai." Now, Lakshmi is the Hindu goddess of wealth. So he says, this is the goddess of wealth. And he says, it is these 5-5 paisa coins which collect together and make crores, they make millions. Now, think about this. I remember this incident, and I'm not narrating this incident to you to propagate that mentality, except that here is somebody who is treating something which normally maybe you and I would treat with disdain. We'd say, what is this 5 paisa coin? I mean, it is something I'm going to pick up from the ground. I want you to apply this to good deeds. Many times we do not do a good deed because consciously or subconsciously we don't consider it worthwhile. Right? It's a small thing. Now, if I tell you that, you know, tomorrow is Laylatul Qadr, and you know, we are all gathering in the masjid, so let us all come there, and you know, we are going to have Qiyamul Layl, and then we are going to have this discourse, this sermon, this preaching, this lecture, this khutbah, this waaz, this bayan, right? And then we will have a mahfil of zikr. All of this very nice. Everyone will collect, and you will come. But if I tell you, you know, when you talk to somebody, smile. Just smile. I mean, don't be a person who needs to be taken to a dentist to see their teeth, right? I mean, show your teeth. Smile. Even if you want to snarl, do that, because when a human being snarls, it looks like a smile. So, at least for some people. So, smile at people, right? Smile at people. Just be good to people. Say salam first. And this is not my advice. This is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us. Afshus salam. He said, spread the salam. And he said, feed the people. And he said, stand in the night when everybody is sleeping, and Allah will make your path to Jannah easy. How easy is that? Right? Feed the people doesn't mean you have to, you know, feed 100 people. Feed one person. Give one person one donut, right? Give one person one piece of bread. Whatever you can do, Islam is so easy, my brothers and sisters. You know this and I know this. It is so easy. Do what you can do. What is the basic principle in Islam? As far as the prohibitions are concerned, stop. Just don't do it. As far as the good things are concerned, as far as the recommended things are concerned, do as much as you can do. Nobody said that you have to do necessarily so many good deeds together before anything is accepted. No. Do what you can do. So, let us treat our good deeds like this gentleman used to treat money. That no coin is too small to let go. So let us think about this and say, no good deed is too small to let go. One subhanallah said with sincerity, with ikhlas, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, will spell the difference between one level of Jannah and another level. And the difference between the levels of Jannah, the Sahaba asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, what is the difference between one level of Jannah and the next level? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is like the distance between the heavens and the earth. It is like the stars that you are seeing. That is how much the difference is. Meaning, what is in that Jannah is to that extent superior and better and greater. See how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us glimpses of them. Whenever I sit in places, that's why I love the outdoors, I love nature. Whenever I'm sitting in places like this, I think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Jannatin tajri min tahti al-anhar. Think about this visual that you are seeing here. Remove me, I'm spoiling the picture for you, unfortunately, but I have to do this in my lecture. But think about this, here is this beautiful grass, here is this tree, there's quite a strong breeze and I hope it doesn't blow my phone off the rock that I've placed it on. And then there's this water behind me. Now just imagine this scene without that water. Supposing that was sand, right? Supposing it was just scrub land. Believe me, this picture, this visual you are seeing wouldn't be one-tenth as beautiful as it is now. And that beauty is added by that water. Jannatin tajri min tahti al-anhar. Allah said you will be in gardens under which and through which rivers flow. Right? This is not a river, this is a sea. But in the Jannah, inshallah, there will be rivers. Because this will be water which is good to drink, and it will be water which is pure, and it will be water which is beneficial, inshallah. So my brothers and sisters, I want to say to you that it's so important for us to focus and concentrate on every single good deed, no matter how small it is. Keep track of it. It's a very good idea. Sometimes people think, oh, I'm just going to do a lot of good deeds and I'll just, Allah will reward me, inshallah. I don't have to count them. I suggest you count them. Not because you have to count them and give an account to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but because if you start counting, then you will give it more importance. You will give it more importance. You will say, how many did I do today? Right? Because you are counting. If you're not counting, then shaitan also will put this thing into your mind and say, I did a lot of good stuff today. You say, excuse me, can you please recall, what did you do? 9 o'clock in the morning, what were you doing? 10 o'clock in the morning, what were you doing? We don't know. I don't know. I have no clue. I didn't think of that, it wasn't my consciousness. So what do you mean you did a lot of good deeds? You know what I'm saying? So instead of that, if you count them, if you actually count them, write them down somewhere. I mean, today we have got a bunch of apps that we can use for accounting all this. Just count the number of good deeds. Every single little good deed. Don't tell anybody, because we want to have ikhlas. This is not for you to put on your Facebook account. It's your own personal notes, which nobody sees, right? Let you be the only person Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees that, and that's alhamdulillah enough. So make this a habit to say, you're going to actually count and record every good deed that you do. Every good deed that you do. So every time you smile at somebody, every time you say salam to somebody, every time you are nice to somebody, every time you give charity, whatever the good deed is. If you say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, you're not counting for the sake of God. So don't get into all this. Every once in a while I get this, somebody making this statement and saying, no, but where is the dalil to say you should count? I'm giving you a suggestion in terms of the amal, right? This is what used to be done when people went to a sheikh for tazkiyah and tarbiyah. This is what the mashayikhin used to do, right? I'm not one of them, alhamdulillah. May Allah bless them. I'm nowhere in the picture, I'm nowhere close to them in terms of their stations and darajat. I'm just trying to, I'm a little parrot who is repeating the lessons that I learnt when I used to be with mashayikh, alhamdulillah. I still have people who are muslihin, who do my islah and to whom I make rujoo to seek correction for myself. So I think I'm saying that this is what I've been taught, that keep track of your good deeds. When you count them, you will become conscious of them. And then you will also think, so now at the end of the day, when you do your muhasibah, and this is what also you should do, is keep that book and in the night look at this book and say, well, today, what did I, how many good deeds did I do? And then you say, yesterday, how many, oh, well, you know, I did so many yesterday, today I am too short. Now, how did that happen? Why am I short? Now, what must you do? Immediately, one of the things you can do straight away, and you must do that, is to free your heart from all ill feeling about anybody. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him one day, he said, oh my son, imagine he's calling Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu my son. He said, oh my son, shall I tell you something which will help you? And Anas bin Malik said, ya Rasulullah, please tell me. He said, if it is possible for you, go to bed without any rancor, without any bad feeling for anybody. And if it is possible, meaning, of course it is possible, meaning be conscious of this, forgive everybody. Forgive everyone. Don't carry that garbage with you when you go to sleep. Right? Clean your heart. Clean your heart before you go to sleep. And this is the advice given by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So, what good deed can I do when I am now looking at my track record, my sheet, before I go to bed, my book, and I discover and I find out that I am short of a few good deeds today, well, do them right then, which is forgive other people, make some dhikr, read some Quran, bring it up and say that there should not be a day that passes when my good deeds for today are less than my good deeds for yesterday. Right? Make this into a rule for yourself, that every day I am going to do at least one extra good deed. What I did yesterday what I do today must be more than what I did yesterday. Even if it is by one single thing. So track them, count them, because this is good for you. It is good for me. It is good for us to be conscious of the good that we do. You're not, as I said, you're not doing it to show anybody. You're not doing this for to feel arrogant, because then you are going to wipe out your own good deeds. So it's not a question of being arrogant. You're going to be humble. You're going to keep this secret. It will die with you, right? But make sure that book of good deeds, that you start one and you maintain it. My brothers and sisters, a day will come when we will meet Allah. And until that day, we have the chance to make the changes that we wish to make. We know that day will come, but we don't know when. I think one of the greatest favors that COVID has done for us is to make us conscious of our mortality. One of the biggest favors that has happened to us, right? I mean, say COVID is not as if COVID is some creature which came to do a favor. I'm just saying that this is one of the things which has happened, which is that it has made us suddenly very conscious of our mortality. We have become suddenly very conscious that we can die any time, we can die any day. Now we know this. Right? So as a Muslim, I always tell people, why are you so surprised? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told you this 1400 years ago. 1400 years ago, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that one day you will die. He said, live your life like a traveler. A traveler is not attached to the station that he passes through. He will get off the train at that station, maybe to buy some food, maybe to get some water, and maybe to fulfill whatever little need he has at that moment, and then he gets back on board the train. He gets off his plane, he will go to the shops in the airport. No matter how beautiful that airport is, I mean, some of these airports are, I mean, Singapore airport, for example, is so beautiful, right? Dubai airport is so beautiful, but no matter how beautiful the airport is, no traveler will get off his plane and say, you know, this lounge is so fantastic, well, I'm going to spend the rest of my life in this lounge. You will not, because if you try to do that, you will spend the rest of your life in jail, because if you don't board the next flight, then they're going to come looking for you. And if you are lounging in the lounge, then they will help you to lounge in the jail, right? Because you would have you have no visa, you've got no permission to stay there. And that's exactly what happens to us. When we are here, if you say, well, I want to stay here longer, then somebody comes to take you away. In this case, you're never going to miss the flight because, you know, they come and take you away to the flight. So it's very important for us. This is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us. He said, this world is not permanent. This world is not permanent. Your being here is not permanent. So don't treat it or don't act as if it is permanent, because it is not. He said, stay as a traveler. They asked him, he said, I am like a traveler who's going through the desert, who's going through from point A to point B, long journey on my horse. And I stopped under a tree, under the shade, to get some rest. And then what? Is he going to live there for the rest of his life? No. I'm a traveler. I have to get to that destination. And I'm focused on that destination. So I stop here for a little bit. I maybe enjoy the scenery, I lie down, I rest for a while, and then I'm off. This is our nature, this is the whole struggle, the whole point of life is to live life in this way. Is to live life like this. Right? To understand that this life is a journey. And to treat it like a journey. So COVID comes now and reminds us that, you know what, you're not going to be here forever. You're going to die. And suddenly Muslims have become aware of this. I think the first thing we need to do is to make a lot of istighfar. And we say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, we apologize to you. We are contrite, we are ashamed. That what you told us about and what you reminded us about and what your Nabi alayhi salam, sallallahu alayhi wasallam reminded us about, what every person who came in our life, every person of religion, every person of wisdom reminded us about, we chose to ignore. And they all said the same thing. Kullu nafsin za'iqatul maut. Every living thing will die, and you are a living thing, I'm a living thing. Every living thing will die. But we chose to ignore that. Well, you can choose to ignore it, but it won't go away. Because I don't want to accept it, it will not vanish, it will not disappear. Right? So, what must I do? Accept the reality and say Alhamdulillah. So here comes COVID, and COVID reminds me that I have to die. Say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed this for me, Alhamdulillah, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save me from it, and I ask Allah to save you from it. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure all those who are affected by it and give them a good health and give them a long and productive life. But at the end of that long and productive life is what? Is death. Not necessarily by COVID, but by something else. All of these are only means. If I want to get from this side of where I'm sitting here to, and that thing on the other side is an island, if I want to get onto that island, the means can differ. I can go in a canoe, I can go in a boat, I can I can swim across. Well, I can't, but I mean somebody who can swim that long can swim across. If I've got enough spiritual power, I can walk on the water. Just the means differ. The fact is that one day I am going to go from here to there. Now, why is that so difficult to understand? We have seen it happen to everybody. Today, I mentioned the other day also, one of our very, very dearest friends, Moin Bhai Qureshi, he passed away in Bahrain. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him Jannatul Firdaus wal Aala bi ghairi hisab. He was a man who was attached to the Quran. Alhamdulillah. And the Quran, inshallah, we ask Allah to make the Quran his shafi, make the Quran his intercessor before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's nothing more powerful than that. And the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the intercessor for the one who was loyal to the kalam. And Moin Bhai was very, very close and very loyal to the Quran al Kareem. Gone across. I am sitting here making this dua And I hope one day when I'm gone, you will make this dua for me.
But we all go.
So COVID is reminding us of that. So we say, Alhamdulillah, this is a great reminder. This is a reminder that I need it, at least I need it. It's important for us to understand that. And we say, let me therefore check and live my life in a way where this reminder becomes a means of benefit for me. Right? Becomes a means of benefit for me. Now, this is very important for us to think about and do. And I keep touching the screen and so the thing changes. Anyway. And then make the changes that we make. We know that this day will come. We know that this day will come. And this is all the whole point of Surah Al-Luqman is this, that it is reminding us of this. There's a very beautiful thing about the advice of Alayhi Salaam to his son, which is that Luqman Alayhi Salaam's advice is to his son about what he should do in this life, which will affect him positively in the next life. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called this life Al-Mazra'u Al-Akhirah. He said, this life is the tilth, it is the agriculture of the Akhirah. Right? So, if I'm a farmer and I want a great crop, then what must I do? I must till my fields. At the time I'm tilling my fields, at the time I'm planting the seed, at the time I'm watering it and so on and so forth, I'm not seeing any harvest. The harvest will come later. But if I say I'm focused on the harvest, but you find that I'm not tilling the fields, then you're going to ask me, what is the meaning of saying you are focused on the harvest? Because you are doing nothing to get this harvest. So at the time of harvesting, when everyone else is cutting their fields and harvesting the grain, you are going to have a barren piece of land. You are not going to have anything there because you have not done anything there. What is the harvest? The harvest is directly proportional to what effort is made before the harvest. So if we make enough effort before the harvest, we have a good harvest. If we have not made enough effort before the harvest, we do not have a good harvest. This is not rocket science. This is absolutely clear logic, understanding which anybody should be able to understand. And this is the thing we need to ask ourselves, saying, what is my work and effort today? So it makes great sense, therefore, to ensure that we make the changes while we can and not delay them until we reach a point of no return. A point of no return is in two ways. One is when we are dying, because now when the angel of death has come, when the curtain has been lifted, tawbah is not accepted. The second, in my view, even more dangerous point of no return is for those people who have been rebellious for so long that the doors of hidayah, the doors of guidance are shut for them. Right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in Surah Al-An'am. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when they exceed their rebelliousness, when they ignore all the warnings that have come to them, then what happens? Does Allah punish them? Yes, but how? Does Allah kill them? No. Allah said, فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Then we open on them the doors of all blessings. People who continue to be rebellious, people who refuse to accept guidance and correction, people who continue to indulge in what is prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people who continue to be cruel, people who continue to be oppressive, people who continue to deal in interest-based banking, lending and borrowing, people who continue to promote all kinds of evil, I'm not making a list of the litany of stuff that we do. People who continue to do this should remember. What happens? What does Allah do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the doors of everything, all goodness on them. They will not die, they will not shrivel up, they will become wealthier, they will become more powerful, they will become stronger, they will become more influential, they will become more popular, they will get more followers on Twitter and Facebook. That seems to be our only means of determining the value of somebody, you know, how many followers do they have. Our lives are so completely diametrically opposite from what the Salaf Salihin, from what our pious predecessors had. May Allah forgive us. Allah said, we open the doors. And then what happens? And then Allah says, then at the time we seize them, baghtatan, instantly. Fahum mublisoon, and then at that time they are broken in spirit. Because the time to make tawbah is over. Their fate is sealed. Allah does not even give them an opportunity to seek forgiveness. May Allah protect us from this. Those who think that they are going to live forever, think about those like you who made arrogant statements, right? Who talked about and who lived on this earth as if it would never end, as if they are here forever. Nothing is forever. Everything perishes. Everything finishes. So the advice of Suratul Luqman, the first and foremost advice of Suratul Luqman, is to be conscious of our meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to live our lives in a way when that day will be the best day of our lives. I make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, and may Allah be pleased with you, and may Allah never be displeased with you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you from all evil that you know and that which you don't know. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you all that you ask Him with khair and afia. And then may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala add to it from His majesty and grace. I ask you to make a lot of dua for the oppressed people of this world. I ask you to make a lot of dua for the people who are suffering for no fault of theirs, except because they are of the, within quotes, wrong skin color, or they follow the wrong God, na'udhu billah, because they have a certain religion, or for whatever reason. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve them of that suffering. And I ask you to make dua for that. I ask you to make a lot of dua for us to be relieved from this test and from this difficulty and musibat of COVID-19. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect all the frontline workers, all the medical people, all the doctors and the nurses and everybody else who, knowing the danger of this, they do not hesitate to leave their homes and they go into the hospitals to help and serve and cure the people and to work to cure. The cure comes from Allah, but to work to administer to the people who are affected by COVID-19. Just think about that. If those doctors and nurses say, sorry, I'm not going to the hospital from tomorrow morning because my children are important, I don't want them to be infected. So therefore, if I'm going to the hospital, coming back every day, my children might be infected. So I am not going to go. If all the doctors and nurses stopped going, what would you do? Tell me. And what would anybody who is infected by this COVID-19, what would you do? Could you hold a gun to their head and say, go there or I will shoot you? All right, so shoot me. Then what happens? I'm dead. They don't do that. Imagine, these are people. I mean, what kind of hearts do they have? Think about that. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. I am so proud and I am so happy and I am so grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that there are people in my own family, closest to me, my blood, who are doing this work. Alhamdulillah. So have appreciation for that. Make sure that you show your appreciation. We ask Allah, make lots of dua for those people. We ask Allah to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. جزاكم الله خيرا and see you next week. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله رب العالمين.